Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful spring day, for our continued celebration of Easter, the resurrection of your Son. We pray through the grace of the Holy Spirit that you truly make us witnesses of these truths, that he has risen from the dead and offers us the forgiveness of our sins and a whole new, beautiful way of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. It says he opened their minds, and how easily we get distracted and are just pushed and pulled in every which direction. And the Lord always wants to open our minds to the truth of who we are, his love for us, and his plan for our lives. And one of the most beautiful things in the reading today and in the readings we've been having for the last several weeks is every time Jesus appears to them, he says, "Peace be with you." He wants to give us the gift of his peace. St. Paul would say the peace that surpasses all understanding and that's not of this world. So instead of chewing them out for not believing, because they'd just seen him on the road to Emmaus in the preceding chapter here, and he comes back again and they were terrified and thought he was a ghost. So he knows how fragile we are and he doesn't reprimand them. It says, "Peace be with you." So he always offers us that gift. Sometimes it comes, it can come in two ways. And this is a signature that a friend of mine used to use years ago when I worked at St. Michael Parish in Olympia. Sometimes God calms the storm around the child, and sometimes God calms the child within the storm. I always want option A, you know, take away all these people that are annoying me, causing me grief, or give me back a good spirit of health or whatever. But often he says no, and then he allows you to experience the trials. But in the midst of that, this wonderful gift of peace comes to you. And I'm sure you all had an experience where you realize that if this was just me on my own energy and resources, I would just be totally overwhelmed. But I feel a sense of peace inside my soul that God is with me and guiding me through these difficult times. I don't have to like where I'm at right now, but I know he's with me and he'll never abandon me. So he always offers us that sense of peace, but sometimes it's by removing us from difficult situations, but sometimes he allows us to go through them, but his presence is always with us, and he wants us to know that, especially now, you know, waking up and seeing the attack in Israel. It just doesn't seem to be getting any better, and nobody's trying to be diplomatic about it, and it could just totally escalate, and people are really worried and anxious about that. And in the midst of that, peace be with you. Amen.
Amen.
And then he wants to help build our faith. So we had last week in St. Thomas, "Thomas, it's me. You know, if you need to touch the holes in my hands, go ahead, put your hand in my side, but don't be unbelieving, but believe." So he's always trying to help us build and achieve a more mature faith. And how does he do that? Well, number one, he opened the scriptures to them. So the importance of getting into the Word of God, I can't stress that enough. The comfort and power that come from knowing God's Word, it's the testimony of his faithfulness throughout history to all of us, that he's a faithful and good God. And Scripture, it says in Timothy, equips us to do works of righteousness and to live a sound life. And so it's truly God's instruction book, the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. Somebody once said, Bible basic instructions before leaving earth. So we want to make sure that we're getting rooted in Scripture and seeing that just as he interacted with mercy for the generations behind us, he's going to interact with mercy with us and the generations after us. And then also the Eucharist, because we just had before this the account of the road to Emmaus, and as soon as he broke the bread in front of them, they recognized it was him. And that's Luke's way of saying, you guys, the Eucharist, he's truly here for you in the Eucharist. So we always want to be doing things in our life that help build faith. You know, reading books, reading God's Word, sharing our stories with other people, allowing the Holy Spirit to surprise us and give us little insights into the joy of our faith and what it means to be a disciple. And along those lines, too, elevating our thinking, because it's so easy to just kind of sit back and see all these things happening in the world and think that we're helpless and we just have to sit back and just in horror watch everything happen. We're not spectators, we're participants in God's plan of salvation. Amen? Yesterday I had a quinceañera here, and it's a wonderful family in our parish. They're very involved and very faith-filled, and I've gotten to know them over the last 6.5 years. And I told this young lady, I said, God has a marvelous plan for you. And you know, a lot of people are pessimistic about their future. They're so worried about everything, global warming, this and that, this and that. They aren't keeping their focus on God. And so they don't have a sense of hope. They fall into despair and depression, because if that's all you have, if this is all there is, it can be quite depressing, right? But if you have God, you have hope. And so the more we build our faith and the more we start thinking and putting on the mind of Christ, then the more happier and more joyful we're going to be. And that's why, you know, even with his partners in the gospel coming up, we have this 3-day retreat. I'm not sure if it's going to be a retreat or just kind of a workshop, but it's 3 days to kind of plan all the transitions. You know, you could either have an attitude of, well, I don't want to be here, and, you know, I wish we weren't going through all this stuff right now. Or what can I do, Lord, to be a witness to your love and power in the midst of this? You don't have to like it, but I have to be faithful in the midst of it, right? So I got to start thinking in a different way, and not just sitting back and getting cynical and pessimistic. Put on the mind of Christ. Hold every thought captive to Christ. And it's so nice to be around people like that. When Paul was shipwrecked in Malta, what did he do? The rest of the people were on the beach complaining because their ship just broke apart. Paul went to get firewood and to do something productive and helpful to get fire going because they were soaking wet. Of course, he got bit by a snake because he pulled the wood out, but didn't faze him at all, right? But he was thinking in a positive, Christ-centered way. And that's what God is asking of us as well. And the importance, too, lastly, of being witnesses. You are witnesses of these things. So last night after the homily, and I had modified it a little bit today, somebody came out after Mass all excited. They went to this transformation night at St. Stephen the Martyr. And they heard this guest speaker, who happens to be a priest, a Dominican priest, and he was talking about how skeptical he was about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the charismatic gifts. And then all of a sudden, these things started happening to him, and he was telling that. And this person was so excited because she was so inspired by his testimony. And then they had a time of prayer, and many people experienced things and stuff, and she was there with her mom at this event, but she was so excited. When we talk about the things of God, it gets this enthusiastic. Entheos, it comes from the word entheos, enthusiasm in God. And so the more we spread the good news about what God is doing in our midst and how he's leading us out of cynicism into positive things, the more we spread the good news to other people. So the importance of our testimony and witness is of extreme importance. I was sharing during daily Mass, this church I used to go to in Pullman, until the guy said, when are you going to leave the Catholic Church? And then I didn't have anything to do with them. And my response was, when hell freezes over. But they were very enthusiastic. So I watched their program last week. You know, they have a new church, and this was like 30 years ago. I was at the University of Idaho in Pullman. But when they got baptized, they had people come forward. What happened to you when you got baptized last weekend? And these people were learning how to share their testimony. We don't do that in the Catholic Church. People get confirmed. What happened? They leave. That's what happened. There's no testimony of, did you experience the grace of the Holy Spirit? Did you feel the fire of the Holy Spirit in your belly and your soul? We don't talk about that. I think we can learn something from other people. Amen? We need that enthusiasm, that testimony. We have so much. God has given us so much in our Catholic Church. And it's time to go dig up that buried treasure and rediscover the joy of the gospel. Sound like a good idea? More or less? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for the joy of this Easter season. And we ask you to open our hearts to a deeper relationship with you, a deeper awareness of your love for each one of us, that you call us by name, and that you're asking us to serve you and to be grateful in all circumstances for the blessings we've received in this life. And to recognize that the best is yet to come. So we ask you to inspire greater faith, hope, and love in our hearts, and help us to encourage one another, especially any brothers or sisters who are afflicted right now or feeling depressed or down. May we use our words and our actions to encourage them that They will know the truth that you are with us always to the end of the age. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.